My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey guys, it's Jerry, and I'm still a little bit under the weather. You might not be able to tell because I sound a little bit better than I did, but not able to get an episode written for Hillbilly Dead Time Stories this week. So I thought this would be a good opportunity, since we're going to be at the Bell Mansion this weekend, to replay an interview we had with Jeff Walker a while back about the Bell Mansion. So let's listen into that instead. There are a handful of tickets left. If somebody wants to come, just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com, go to the events page, and you'll see two different sets of tickets you can get for the Bell Mansion show. Trust me, if you're anywhere near the area, you're not going to want to miss this one. Hey guys, I'm excited to have paranormal investigator Jeff Walker. Jeff lives up in the Fort Wayne area, up here with our buddies Justin Rimble and Shane Waters. It's amazing how many people that I've come to know over the last, you know, several years in the Fort Wayne area. It's like a hotbed up there for paranormal and true crime. Jeff, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the show, Jerry.
Jeff, you are a paranormal investigator, and you've got some video stuff in the works for what hopefully will end up turning out to be a television show, but it'll probably start out on YouTube. You were telling me a little bit earlier. You've got all kinds of involvement with some local stuff you got going. So, you know, let's start with this. I want to get into the paranormal investigating first. And you have some connections up there. I see you're at a lot of different functions at Bell Mansion in your area. Tell me a little bit about Bell Mansion, first of all, and then tell me what kind of experiences you've had there.
Oh, man. So the Bell Mansion. So it opened up to the public back in December. And originally it was going to be opened up as an Airbnb, and those plans kind of fell through because you have to change the use of the building. And so that was kind of expensive. So they're like, all right, let's bring a paranormal team in here. So this Old World Paranormal Society, which is Nick's group that runs it through there. And let's come in here and see if we can, you know, see if this place is haunted or whatnot. And through doing a bunch of EVPs and things like that, he's got well over 300 pieces of evidence of things there. So it's, I call it to this day, it's a paranormal playhouse.
So, do you think that's because it's just recently been opened up to paranormal investigating? Do you think that contributes?
I think there's a lot of things that contribute to it. So the building was built back in 1893. And so the building's well over 130 years old. The exterior of the building is actually made out of old Indiana limestone, which I know in the paranormal community that there tends to have some sort of energy that is drawn to limestone. So we also kind of think that's another reason why there's so much activity there. But then get this, it was also a funeral home for 93 years.
Nice.
So I think that's where I call it. A lot of people, when they want to go and investigate, they're like, man, this was a funeral home for 93 years and, you know, tons of activity. It's an old building. There's an estimated, you know, 300,000 to 600,000 bodies that were embalmed there, because that was the only place here in Fort Wayne for about 40 years that actually did embalming activity.
So let's talk about that. There's a couple of things you just brought up that I like to talk about on occasion. So let's bring up the limestone question. Do you believe that the limestone yourself, that the limestone does absorb energies, whether it be positive or negative? I know there's a lot of people that, like you said, they really believe that it is a factor in some of these locations. What are your thoughts on the limestone?
Yeah, with me being a little bit newer into the investigation field, I'm actually doing research myself, you know, because before I got into investigating, I was a huge skeptic. Until I started having experiences, I was like, I don't know about this, you know, so I've always had these questions and I'm like, well, I guess there's only one thing to do. Go into the investigating field and start trying to figure things out for myself and then surround myself with people who've been in the field for a while. So yeah, that's like a TBD for me right now, to understand the whole, you know, energy side of everything with the paranormal.
So it sounds like something happened in your life that made you want to dig a little deeper. Because you said you were a skeptic and then you wanted to start investigating and surrounding yourself. So what happened to make you want to start investigating? So it's because obviously something happened. It's not like a switch was flipped.
Right. I mean, when I was in middle school, I grew up watching a TV show called A Haunting.
Love it. Favorite show ever.
I know. I was just like, before that, and I'm really probably outdating myself a little bit here, it was Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh yeah, so, that's another. That was the greatest of all time. So yeah, you can't. Those are the two kings in my world.
It is. It is, and I still watch them to this day. I was like, man, it's like now I look where I've ended up. I'm like, this is really cool. But to kind of set back where I started, you know, my most recent experience was probably the best experience I've had, was probably back in late 2018. I was downtown here in Fort Wayne going on a run, and long story short, there's this hospital, it was St. Joe Hospital, that was to my right. There was a parking lot that's to the left, and I was just kind of running, getting ready to go up to this stoplight. So I started slowing down. I just kind of stopped way before that, and I just kind of looked at that just to my left, and I looked up a little bit, and all I saw was this, I don't know, it was this bluish greenish orb. It also kind of reminded me of Tinkerbell. It was this orb that just kind of had some sparks. It was like a firework that just kind of was just like, kind of went up, swooped up, went down, went back up, and then just like disappeared. And to this day, I don't know. I was just like, all right, maybe, you know, it's some of my brains playing jokes with me, or maybe I was a true paranormal experience. It could be, you know, I had a sister that passed away early in 2018.
Sorry to hear that.
Like, well, maybe that could be, you know, her coming to visit me, letting me know like, hey, everything's okay, I'm good. And I don't know. So I was just like, all right, well, let me see if there's anything around here, you know, that there's investigation teams or places I can go and investigate. And it's not until actually December of last year with the Bell Mansion, became open. And I went there and attended a public event with Old Paranormal Society. And from there, I've kind of been one of those residual spirits. Like, I started there, I've never left, so I'm able to experience the people that I've been able to meet there has been beyond incredible.
Now, I said that you had mentioned a couple of things that I like to bring up, and the first was on the limestone. The second thing is on the funeral home aspect. Some people think, well, there's really no need for a funeral home to be haunted because by the time the people get there, they've already dead and their spirits are probably gone. So why would the funeral home be haunted? And then there's some people say, well, there's so many bodies that went there, that came through, like you said, in that case, 300 to 600,000 possible bodies that were embalmed there. What are your thoughts on the possibility of a funeral home being haunted, and why do you think that it would be haunted?
I honestly believe everybody, not just from the bodies being embalmed there, but everybody that's came in there for, you know, either an event or a funeral or to the, you know, previous homeowners, you know, because before as a funeral home, it was owned by two former families. So the Bells were the first family, and then the second family was the Nobles. And then the Claims are the ones that turned it into a funeral home from 1927 to 2018.
Okay.
So I think everybody also brings different energies. You know, we do have a couple of spirits there that are actually not originally from the Bell Mansion. And not to freak people out when I talk about this, but one of those spirits did follow one of the investigators home from Indiana State Sanitarium. Now he resides on the third floor, and so when I give tours and stuff, we speak of his name, and he just, no, that's his place to hang out now. So
it's funny you mentioned Indiana State Sanitarium, because my friend Justin Rimmel, that we just brought up earlier, that lives in Fort Wayne, he just went there and did an investigation a few nights ago, and he was telling me how active that place was, and that we definitely need to get out there at some point in time. Have you been there yourself to the sanitarium?
I have not. I've only been to a handful of places. Obviously, aside from being to the Bell, I've been to the Asher Walton House there in Atlanta, Indiana. And then just a handful of weeks ago, we went to the Ohio State Reformatory. That was a whole experience in its own. It's a place I would definitely go back and back and back again.
Yeah, I've been to the outside, but I've never been inside. We went there during COVID, and they were doing some, it was shut down because of COVID, but they were also doing some kind of restoration work when we were out there. So they had it closed off. But yeah, it's a very intimidating building just on the outside. I can't imagine what it's like on the inside.
I had no words, especially for, you know, me being during the investigation field. You know, when you were saying, hey, this is, you know, 250,000 square feet, you know, it's got the world's tallest freestanding cell at 6 tiers. And let me tell you, my knees were feeling it because we did an overnight there. And by that night, I was just like, you know what? Us having three, floors at the Bell Mansion, that's not as bad now compared to walking up, you know, 6 tiers of steps.
Yeah, I could imagine. And that place got all kinds of negative history to it, as most prisons do. And then, of course, you've got the movies and stuff that were shot there. It just makes it a very interesting place all the way around.
Oh, yeah. It's as soon as when we're given getting the tour and all that, I'm just like, all these questions and all of these things were just popping up in my head. It's like, well, this is a first. You know, they've got multiple different challenges that you can do there. And one of them was the East Cell Block Challenge, which I've actually posted on my social media. So you walk around this East Cell Block, and it takes you, well, give or take, depending on how quickly you like to walk. It took me a little bit over 4 minutes to walk around this entire block. But you do it with no flashlight, and you just go right around the block by yourself. And the only thing I had with me was my night vision body cam. And I don't know, me being a scare actor, like, that was pretty intimidating. You know, you have it felt like every time that you walk past one of those black cells, that there's just somebody that's constantly watching you, or like you were constantly being followed. There's a couple of moments that I had during that I felt somebody was breathing heavily on my neck. So there's a couple, so those couple moments I was on video, like, okay, what the hell was that? So that led to a lot of questions. I'm like, you know, I'd do that again, but dang, the further I walked in down the cell, it just got darker and darker. I'm like, there's a guy that can barely see the hand in front of me right now. It definitely takes on a whole new experience and a lot of activity. You know, we didn't get as much REM pod activity as we wanted, but did hear some disembodied voices. I did sit inside Jonathan Lockhart's cell, which is number 13, which apparently he's the one that burned himself alive in that cell block. And so that's, you know, I don't know if it was my head playing with me or what, but just sitting in that cell block, I'm like, all right, I can't spend much time in here at all.
You had mentioned being a haunt actor. So that was something that you've obviously spent a lot of time doing. And the hopeful television show that you're putting out, you said that kind of makes it cool that you have a haunt actor that's now turned investigator. Gives a little bit different aspects and view than what some of these other shows do. And that you said that it's one thing that's different is it's going to involve other paranormal investigators and kind of showcase some other different groups. Tell me a little bit about how this thought to come up with this show came to be and what you hope for it in the future.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, being from the scare acting side where, you know, we're obviously being the ones, you know, the ones doing all the scaring. It's just like, all right, let's put myself on the other side. And let's just see how daring I am, you know, investigating, you know, true paranormal and whatnot. But I definitely want to go and investigate, you know, other haunted attractions. So hopefully we can get some of their members to kind of tag along with us as well. But my overall goal for the show is to really help promote truthfulness in the paranormal community. And I'm not trying to say that all these other TV shows, it's, you know, none of it's real. I mean, you got to have ratings. So I totally get it. But it's really about education, you know, because that's what's most important to me. I'm like, what is someone like me that has a tons of questions or has really never had the opportunity to try to come clean with somebody on the experiences that I've had? You know, who's going to be honest and truthful to me that is going to hear me out and show me, hey, this is probably what you experienced. You know, let's figure this out. And we've had multiple people come to the bell. I was like, yeah, this is a place I can actually open up and, you know, be real with somebody. Say, hey, this is what I've experienced. I hope I'm not crazy. I'm like, there's no such thing as you being crazy for experiencing the things that you have. And we just try to make it just a place that's open for everybody. So that's one of the goals for the show. And then you have all these different paranormal groups of all these different experiences. Some of them come from different backgrounds and they also could be, you know, very young in the industry as well.
Did I see this correctly on your social media that you're somehow involved in teaching some classes about paranormal investigating to young adults or children?
Yeah. So, Nick, I kind of help assist over at Old World Paranormal Society. This is, we just did our third one this past Sunday, which has become very popular. Because we do honestly believe that, you know, children do have gifts because they haven't had a lot of experiences in life yet, which kind of opens up their mind more to seeing certain things or just feeling things and whatnot. So yeah, we kind of go over some of the equipment. We kind of ask them about some of their experiences that they've had and if they know anything about the equipment, and then they can actually pair up with one of us investigators. And we kind of go around to the different rooms and show them how to use the equipment, also how to debunk things. So we're like, hey, let's just make sure this is, you know, this is truthful here. So we're going to use this equipment right here to see if we can try to debunk that. But it's becoming very popular. And I think that's a whole nother area that's definitely be drawing a lot of interest, you know, around the Fort Wayne area.
Are you finding that a lot of the young adults that sign up for those classes have had experiences and that's why they're interested? Or are you finding it kind of being a mixed bag of some people just thinking it'd be cool to find out?
It's honestly a little bit of everything. Some people have had experiences. Some people just like the whole fear factor of it, of going and doing some ghost hunting, which is perfectly okay. You know, some people don't want to dig into the paranormal, so, which is perfectly fine. But then there's some people like, hey, you know what? I've had experiences. Maybe they can help me get some answers.
Really cool. So, and you said this is the third one y'all have done. How often do you do those classes?
We typically do them once a month.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty good.
Yep. Once a month. So this will be our third rolling month. And then Wednesday nights we do paranormal investigations. They're open to the public. So we give them a full tour of the facility. We also show them how the equipment works. And then if they feel comfortable enough with the equipment, they can take the equipment and go and investigate in the room, or they can, you know, partner up with one of the investigators there and kind of go search out, you know, with them. So it's been pretty fairly popular. We started doing ghost flashlight tours. We just did our first one this last Friday. We had about 15, 20 people show up. And so we got another one coming up this Friday.
And it's relatively cheap, to be honest with you, because to be able to come into a place that's has good activity, to be able to work with paranormal investigators, be able to use the equipment stuff. I think I saw the event that by the time this comes out, that event will already be over. But I think I saw that it was like $20 a piece or something. Am I right on that?
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. So it's kind of like a trial and error for us since, you know, we've only been open since December. So we have, you know, teams that have booked across the country. I think we've had well over 50 teams already this year that have kind of booked us out on Saturdays. And then we do public overnights as well. So we'll do like an 8-hour public on any given Friday, usually from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. It's about $50 a person. It's kind of just an extended version of our Wednesdays.
Nice. So before we get off of here, real quick, let's go back to the show that you're trying to put out. When are you expecting this to be available to people, and how will it be available to people?
So it'll be available strictly on YouTube for now, maybe into Discovery Plus. Not 100% how sure how it's gonna go yet. But hopefully, late August of next year is when we'll have our first episode out.
And if I was to tune in, what would I be seeing? Give me an idea of what an episode would look like.
Episode. So basically, we're just kind of interviewing the team that I connect with, you know, interviewing the individuals and then as a team. And then it's also going to be, like I said, it's also be kind of educational. When we go to use a piece of equipment, we're going to explain what this equipment does, how it's utilized, and then also some ways how we can debunk the equipment and things like that. Because I think there's sometimes on these shows that a lot of things do go missing. They're like, well, how did they get this? Or what's their truth behind that? So I really want to be able to dig deep down into, you know, the investigation part, doing EVPs and stuff like that. And there might be some times where you may not see a whole lot of activity, but then there's some places we might get tons of it. So it's just, you know, like I said, releasing the truth behind, you know, investigating. It's not everything that you see, like, you're not going to get activity all the time.
Yeah, and that's very true. And I think, obviously, you see it happen in these television shows. So it's like, oh, man, they got so much activity in this. And reality is that was over a long period of time, and there's a lot of downtime in between.
Oh, my gosh. Some of these, you know, episodes, they spend, you know, 3-4 days, about a week, just to get a handful of evidence. So I'm like, hey, you know, maybe that's why I'm saying maybe it's not going to be meant for like Discovery Plus, places like that, because the whole ratings thing. But if I can at least show people that I'm like, hey, this is what you can experience. This is legit. This is raw evidence right here. Maybe they'll, you know, drop questions for people to ask us. You know, we'll be able to do Q&A. And we also, I want to be able to do live events as well. So people can say, hey, we've had the tour. Can you go investigate this room? I think I saw something in this room. We'll take our equipment. We'll go into that room. Things like that. So
very cool. Jeff, it's been fun talking with you. Tell everybody how they can keep up with the show and everything that you got going on.
So right now, it's just under my Facebook page. It's Jeff Walker - Paranormal Investigator, as well as Northeast Indiana Paranormal Group. So definitely, I post a lot of content on there, especially, you know, coming here from the Bell Mansion. I'm going to be posting some more updates here in the next few months and kind of let everybody know what the timeline's looking like.
Awesome. Like I said, it was a blast connecting with you, and we'll have to try to get you out at one of our live events when we're up in your area next time.
Yes, sir. You guys are always welcome over here.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing some information and some time with us.
Yes, my pleasure, Jerry.